Welcome to The Bottom Line Up Front with Terry Thompson, the show where we get to the bottom line up front of the most important issues facing life and business. And now, here's your host for this episode, Terry Thompson. Today, we have special guest Carl Gordon. He is a certified Napoleon Hill Foundation member, expert think and grow rich trainer, author of Unstoppable You and the 60-Day Focus Journal. Welcome to the show, Carl Gordon. How's it going, man?
I'm doing great, Terry. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. So I'm truly excited about diving into this topic about think and grow rich and focus. And that's kind of the topic of our bottom line up front today. So here's the deal. Bottom line up front. Focus is about controlling your willpower in the direction of your desires. But here's my number one question within that. I strongly believe that, you know, it goes a little bit deeper than that. And most people are only willing to go skin deep. So I think we have wants, needs, and desires. Let's talk about that right there. What are your thoughts about wants, needs, and desires?
Yeah, I love it. I love that. And, you know, I tell people to survive, we need very little, right, Terry? You know, as human beings, all we need to survive is what I call snow, right? Mm-hmm. Sleep, nourishment, oxygen, and water, right? When people tell me what they need, I think, well, you know, that's great. That's all you really need is snow or snow, right? Sleep, nourishment, oxygen, water. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want, right? Because that's inspiring. And our wants are infinite. There's an infinite number of wants. You have wants, I have wants. Desires take it to the next level. Desires are wants that you emotionalize, right? They're the ones that move you in the direction of your purpose. So the needs are things that are required for human beings to survive. Wants are things that make us thrive. And desires are emotionally based things that inspire us. So that's how I, you know, categorize those three things: needs, wants, and desires.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's within chapter one of the book, Think and Grow Rich, where it talks about desire. And once again, I strongly see that a lot of people are really only willing to dive just skin deep within some of those things. I know for me, there are things that I want. There are things that I need in order to do what it is that I do. And then there's that really deep level, which is desire. And, you know, for me, So here's kind of the things that I desire. The things that I desire is those things that, you know, oftentimes that I lack. You know, it could be that care, that love, that empathy, that sympathy, those things that, you know, might necessarily be lacking. Then there's those wants and needs. And I think that a lot of people really focus more on, okay, I want that or I need that versus those deep level desires.
I totally agree with you. And you know, I tell people I train, I say, listen, replace the word need with require, right? This is what's required. I require this to succeed. I require this to meet my goal. I require this to end up from where I am to where I want to go, right? Because needs is, listen, when people tell me they need something, it sounds like they're needy, right? There's no inspiration in that, right? Tell me what's required. And if I have those resources, I can apply them. Tell me what you want or what you desire. And that's inspiring to me, and it's inspiring to you. And, you know, the other thing we talked about is focus, right? Focus is, I'm your focus guy. That's who I am. I help people find, maintain, and sustain focus. And here's the kicker. It's desire-based focus, right? So desire is the first chapter in the book, Think and Grow Rich. He says Napoleon Hill says it's the starting point of all achievement. And it's that emotionalized desire that allows us to focus. So when you have desire-based focus, everything you do is based on that desire, based on that emotional want, right? And that's the key, because as you and I both know, you know, the things that you do, Terry, and the inspiration that you bring and all the lives that you affect, it's because it turns you on. You're emotionally, there's an emotional attachment to it because you're helping people, right? Same with me. So that's what gets us out of bed in the morning, right? That's what gets us on a podcast, you know, late at night or early in the morning, right? And that's the kicker. And most people are just operating on the surface. They think it, well, I need this or I need that. No, you don't. You know, there's very little that we need to survive. Tell me what you want to thrive. Tell me what you're emotional about. Tell me what your desires are, and I can help you. You know what I mean? And that's where you're really, to your point, Terry, that's where you're going deep, right? That's where you really get deep, because that's where those emotions are. And that's what will keep people going, right? And that's what, when you have desire-based focus, you have willpower, and you can move mountains. And I know that you've done it and you've seen it done before.
So what's holding people back from really being more focused? Because, you know, there's opportunity everywhere, but it always seems like, you know, people always want to make up excuses or reasons or whatever the case may be. What's actually holding people back from staying focused?
That's a great question. And, you know, my mentor, Bob Proctor, is a big guy about paradigms, right? About paradigms, our previous, you know, our old way of thinking, you know, our limited way of thinking. That's a big thing. You know, that's a big thing. But I talk about awareness, right? So this book, Think and Grow Rich, is really all about elevating your level of awareness about the way you think, right? And a lot of people think, you know, I don't really like the title. I have to be honest with you. And I know it was a marketing thing, but way back when it was written. But the word rich, you know, my grandmother used to say rich is the way wealthy people describe dessert, right? So you'll very rarely hear me talk about rich when it comes about wealth. Think and Grow Rich is about wealth. It's about wealth in all areas of your life. And so I believe it's a book about awareness, elevating people's level of awareness. Because here's what I know. You're never going to be able to control something you're not aware of, right? So we all want significance and meaning in our lives and the things that we do, correct? But you're never going to give significance and meaning to something you don't direct. You're never going to direct something you don't control. And you can't control something you're not aware of, right? So I think the reason why people operate on that superficial level, right? How much money do I have in the bank? How, you know, what kind of house do I drive? What does my watch look like? Am I, you know, driving a Rolls Royce or am I driving a beat up old Chevy? They're operating on that very low level of consciousness, that low level of vibration, right? Of energy. And they're not aware that they have the ability to elevate that, right? And so I think awareness is a big part of it. And I think your paradigms where, you know, the story that you tell yourself, you know, that, you know, and we're going to talk about that too, about chapter two, auto suggestion. What's the story that you tell yourself? You know, well, nobody in my family's ever gone to college, or nobody in my family's ever been a millionaire, or nobody in my family's ever written a book, right? Or nobody in my family's ever had a happy marriage, right? What's the story you're telling yourself, right? Because that has a lot to do with what keeps us down.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of opportunity out there. And I strongly believe that what you focus on gets results. And I see a lot of people that tend to just focus on that negativity. And a lot of that doesn't even really affect people, but yet they want to give that attention. They want to give that energy. I love that you talk about that. You know, how do you really prevent that? Because there's a lot of things that really can kind of get in your way, get in your mindset. And I know you talk about the six mental muscles, and there's a lot of things that really can tear at those muscles, but you have to build those muscles in order to build either that resiliency or that focus. So how do you build up those mental muscles?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And that's the analogy I use, Terry. I mean, obviously you and I think very much alike because, you know, you've done a lot of work and I've done a lot of work, right? And so your mental muscles are like your physical muscles, right? Mm-hmm. They're like your legs or your abs, your arms, right? And all human beings, if you're a normal, you know, person, we all have these mental muscles, right? And let me go through them real quickly. And by the way, I will be more than happy to share this with your audience. If at the end, if anybody wants to get the a list of these, I have all this stuff, you know, in PDFs. So our mental muscles, right? Our imagination, which by the way is one of the chapters of the book. Our intuition, which some people call our sixth sense, which is also one of the chapters of the book. Our memory, which I'll talk about in a minute. Our perception, our reasoning. And our willpower, right? We talked about willpower either. That's one of our mental muscles. And just like your biceps, Terry, you can work those mental muscles to strengthen them, right? To become more mentally clear, right? And to be more mentally focused. And those are the mental muscles. All human beings are endowed with those. Now, I forget who it was that said, the only difference between a man and a horse is mind, right? That's the only difference. A horse has a heart, a horse has kidneys, a horse has a liver, right? They have eyeballs. They have teeth, right? The only difference between a horse or a pig and a man is my mental muscles, our mind, right? So when you're aware of these, right? When, like I just talked about before, when people are aware that they have an excellent memory, when they're aware that they have intuition that can lead them to opportunity, right? When they understand that their perception of what's going on is reality, right? When they understand this, they can then start to work these muscles and strengthen these muscles. And there's ways, I don't know if we have enough time now, but there's ways to actually do that. There's way exercises that I train people on to help them strengthen their mental muscles. And I want to just make one comment. You know, people tell me all the time, oh, I have a terrible memory. do you realize that all everything that's ever come into your consciousness through your five senses, right? Your taste, your smell, your sight, your hearing, and your touch are recorded in your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. You have a perfect memory. The question is, can you recall it? Right. And so that's where people, you know, I tell people when you say I have a terrible memory, you're actually convincing your subconscious mind that you have a terrible memory. So the way to change that is just simply say, I have a perfect memory. Now, people might not believe that, Terry. They may not believe that in the moment, but your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference. So mm-hmm. you tell your subconscious mind, I have a perfect memory. I have a perfect memory. I have a perfect memory. You will be amazed at what you'll be able to start to remember. Right. And the other thing is practice, right? Instead of using a calculator or instead of using a notebook, memorize something. I've memorized parts of the book. There's several poems in the book. I've memorized them. There's several exercises in the book. I've memorized them. And what am I doing? I'm engaging and I'm using my mental muscle, right? That strengthens that mental muscle. And everybody else can do it too. If you can do it, Terry, and I can do it, they can too.
I believe in that. And, you know, whatever you attach after or whatever you say after I am, you will believe. So if you say, I am forgetful, I am this, I am that, whatever the case, you're going to believe that. So I strongly believe that, you know, I am capable. I can remember this. I must remember this. And I believe that, you know, so I like to turn everything into a must. This is a must for me. I must remember this. I must do this. I must take that action. And I want to touch on one thing that you said within those six mental muscles, and this is what I love, and that's reasoning. People will always come up with reasons on why they can or cannot do something. And I like to call it little voices in your head. And yeah, I was having a great conversation with Sean Swarner one time, and he talked about the little voice that's in his head. He even had a name for it. The name was Cooper. And I thought that was kind of amazing. I was like, man, this guy, one of the most motivational men in the world, has a voice in his head, has a name for it, and he has conversations with it. So I know myself, I'm constantly having conversations with myself. I'm always wargaming and I'm always planning. I'm always doing these little things. But I always tie that conversation back to an action, because if you stay on that negativity for too long, you will drown in it. So here's the thing. How do you stop those little voices in your head from really taking over and preventing you from taking action? What are some tactical tips that you use?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. That's one of the things that when I interview people that go through my 13-week course, I ask them, what are the most important things you got out of it? First thing they say is they get it beyond their fears, right? They get beyond their fears, because we definitely talk about it. The other thing is they manage negative thinking. They manage negative thoughts. You know, they've actually done Harvard studies or Stanford or somewhere, Oxford, where they hooked up the person's brain and they had them think about negative things, right? And it was easier for negative thoughts to enter our mind than it was for positive thoughts initially, until they started having to do exercises to switch those negative thoughts. So if you have a negative thought about, I'm not good enough, they would have them say, okay, I want you to think that you are good enough, or I'm not tall enough. I want you to think that you are tall enough. So exactly what you're talking about, Terry, switching that conversation, when that negativity goes into your brain and you start to hear yourself talk, right? Because who do we hear more in our lives? We hear the voice we hear most of anybody else in our lives is our own, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're with ourselves more than anybody else. So you have to pay attention and be aware of that internal dialogue, that internal conversation. Right. And when it goes into the negative, immediately stop and switch it, because you have the power to do that. The only thing in the universe that you and I control, the only thing, is our thoughts. That's it. Nobody else can control them. They can influence them. I can influence your thoughts. Other people can influence my thoughts, but they can't control them. So when the thought of negativity comes in your mind, which it will, you're human, immediately be aware of it and immediately switch it. So I'm a big believer in positive affirmations. You know, I have, and I'll be more than happy to share this with you as well. I have 250 positive affirmations. I have 50 for each of the five areas of my life, right? For my finances, my relationship, my health and my wellness, my education and my spirit. I came up with 50 over the years, and I have 50 for each of those five areas of my life. And I run through those all the time. Listen, I tell myself to myself, Terry, I don't walk down the street or when I'm on the train or on the airplane. I say to myself, I'm a good dad. I'm strong. I'm handsome, even though most people might not think I'm handsome. But I tell myself that, right? I'm a good businessman. People are attracted to me. I help people. I'm a good citizen, right? These are the things that I tell myself, right? And why do I do that? Because if I don't fill up my vessel, which is my mind, with my own conversation of positivity, the world will fill it through with negativity. Can I share a real quick exercise that we did with Bob Proctor? Can I share that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So he was going through this, and I was on a year-long program with Bob, and we were at a hotel. I think we're in New York or somewhere. And he was up there, and he had a crystal vase, and he had a pitcher of clear water. And as he was talking, he started telling us about filling up our vessel. And in this case, it was the vase. Fill up our vessel with purity, with good thoughts. And he started, every time he talked, he'd pour a little bit of clear water in there that represented the clear thoughts, the positive energy, right? The positive thought. He filled it up. And he said, here's your mind when you work on this stuff, when you're aware of it. You get a clear mind of positive stuff. Then he took a little dropper of ink, a little dropper. There was probably a gallon of water. And he said, this is what happened when one negative thought enters your mind. And he dropped the one drop into the pitcher, and it all went dark, right? It all went dark. He said, that's why you have to stay aware of it. You have to weed the garden of your mind. You have to keep putting positive, clear thoughts into your mind, because when negativity comes in, it gets dark. Now, you know what he did next? He said, How do you clear your mind? He started pouring more clear water in, right? And it started to overflow. Sooner or later, the dark water became clear again. And the point is, he said, how do you clear your mind? You pour positive thoughts in. You hang out with positive people like you and your network, right? You go to Clubhouse. You listen to Unbreakable Stories, right? You do these things, right? That's how we keep filling our vessel with positive, clear thoughts. And otherwise, the negativity will get in. So that's just one little technique. And it starts with awareness.
Where do those negative thoughts come from? Because here's the thing. When I was growing up, I always thought about values and things from my parents, my coaches, and then as I got older, I started having mentors and leaders. Where do those negative thoughts really come from, though?
Well, you got to be real careful. They're all over the place. I mean, they come from the media. They come from all over, and they're out there. Here's the reality. We live in a polar world, right? You can't have good without evil, right? You can't believe in one thing and not the other, right? Up and down, in and out, hot and cold, right? You can't believe in positive energy without negative energy. The negative energy is out there, and it's as powerful as positive energy. It's really a choice of what you choose, right? Napoleon Hill talks about this. He said, the road to riches and the road to poverty are the same road. You just have to figure out which way you're heading, because you can't be going in both directions at the same time. Think about that for a minute. If you're on a road and you're moving towards positivity, you can't be moving towards negativity at the same time. You're either moving in one direction or the other. And by the way, if you're standing still, the universe is constantly moving. So if you're standing still, you're actually moving backwards, right? While the rest of the world moves forward, you're moving backwards. So there's no neutral. You're either moving in the positive direction or the negative direction. And the reality is you want to think about that all the time. The conversation right now, Terry, is a positive conversation we're having, right? Mm-hmm. We could turn it negative like that. Like you and I could both decide right now to go negative, and you and I don't choose not to do that, right? So we all have that ability, and it's a question of awareness. Most people aren't aware. They're victim of their own circumstances. They don't realize, as you said, whatever you focus on is going to come about, right? We become what we think about all day long. That's right out of As a Man Thinketh with James Allen. Mm-hmm. Whatever you focus on will come about. It's just the way it works. And the negativity is just out there, just like the positivity. If you seek positivity, you will attract positivity, and positive things will happen.
100%, and when I find myself in those conversations, because a lot of people will, they'll try to engage in that negative conversation and really pull you into it. Your action to it, and I don't want to say reaction, because everything that we do is an intentional choice if we're focused on making those intentional choices. So what really build, and I think that goes back to that mental muscle, what really goes into building that mental muscle to stay positive? Because it really is a choice, but yet people take, I want to use the word unintentional action, but is that even really a thing, unintentional action?
Well, no action is an action. I mean, not resisting something is an action. And I totally agree with you. And I'm glad you brought that up. Reaction versus response, right? And this all goes back to mindset, right? Mindset. When you react to something, because here's the reality. Things happen in life, right? Things happen. And it's not about what happens. It's about how you respond to it, right? So when you're not in control of your emotions, Terry, You react to things. The other day I was in a restaurant. I was having a really in-depth conversation with, well, you know, Mike Morawski, mm-hmm. right? Mike Morawski, he and I were talking about, we were doing some real estate stuff. We were having a really intense conversation. And somebody, one of the waiters dropped the plate and the whole restaurant, you just saw everybody go, oh, right? Mike and I didn't react. We didn't react, right? Because we were intense. We were intentional. We were having a conversation. It was like a nuclear bomb could have gone off because we were focused, right? All the other, everybody else went like this, right? And so what's my point? My point is when you're not in control of your thoughts, you're not in control of your emotions, you're going to react, right? Mm. You respond when you're in control. When you're in control of your emotions and when you're in control of your thoughts and your thinking, you respond. You know, somebody can say something to you. Someone can cut you off in traffic. Someone can give you the bird, you know, whatever. When you're in control of your emotions, it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal, right? When you're not, you get all upset, right? Sometimes it can ruin your entire day, your entire week. And that goes back to those mental muscles, right? The perception of what just happened. You know, the perception, someone cut you off. Well, no, whatever. They just got in front of you. What's the big deal? Right? When you're in control of that mental muscle and you're in control of your thoughts, it doesn't bother you. Right. Mm-hmm. So perception is a big one. You know, when we talk about negativity, you know, like when you perceive the world as being good, when you perceive the world, when you perceive people as being good, which we are, good people do bad things, but in essence, we're good people, right? Most of us. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you perceive the world as moving in your direction, when you perceive the universe as being infinite and resources being infinite, right? When you perceive you and me and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos coming from the same source, right? Living the same energy, having the same, being connected to the same universal power or infinite source or God or whatever you want to call it, then your whole life changes. As opposed to me versus them, or well, they're better because they have more money. So that perception is a big, that's one mental muscle that's huge. And it guards you against that negative thinking. It guards you against that attitude of us versus them, right? Which I know that's not what the Bible talks about. It talks about us all being collective consciousness, all being human, all being connected and divine creatures, right? So that's a big part of it, that mental muscle of perception and how you perceive yourself, because however you perceive yourself is how others are going to perceive you. And that's how they're going to respond to you. If you're being negative, like you said, if you're being negative and doubtful and confused, that's all you're going to see in the world, right? And that's a big part of it. And we help people through that.
Yeah, I believe that knowledge, skills, and experience really ties into emotional intelligence. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with you. And, you know, one of the chapters of the book is called Specialized Knowledge. Mm-hmm. Specialized knowledge. And it, to me, it goes right back to what stops us in life. Right. And the book I just wrote, which is about to come out, is called Unstoppable You. It's 5 chapters and it talks about the things that stop us. Right. And it talks about the things that shut us down emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the things that we have a hard time getting over when you're not aware of it. Right. Now, I'll just go through it real quickly. The first chapter is fears, talks all about fears. The second one is doubt. You know, what do we doubt? The third one is confusion. The fourth chapter is indecision. And the last chapter is worry, right? So our emotions, that's the language of the universe, right? The emotions is what people pick up on when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're angry, right? And we have complete control over those, Terry. We have complete control over those, right? And so understanding what affects our emotions are critical. And the things that affect our emotions, which, by the way, are either our emotions either move us forward or they hold us back. Mm-hmm. Right?
Because here's a fun question, though. And this was a conversation I got into with a lady the other night. I strongly read body language. I think that body language is really one of those things that is very expressive. You will gain an understanding through body language faster than you will anything that's said. And I have to ask you this because I always get different answers. What is the most expressive body part?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the studies. Probably your face. I would have to say your smile or your eyes or your face, right?
Eyebrows.
Is it really? Okay.
Think about it. Eyebrows, because your eyebrows will react before anything else does.
That's interesting.
Whether you're confused, happy, sad, upset, whatever the case may be, your eyebrows are the first thing to react.
Wow. you know, that might make some sense because it's right in front of our frontal lobe, right? Our whatever, our emotional center. I'd never heard that before. That's interesting. That's now I'm going to pay attention to that and look at other people's
eyes. Yeah. So when you're talking to people, I know for me, I have a really bad habit over the years of looking at people right in the mouth, like, because I'm always reading lips. And over the last year and a half, 2 years with masks and everything, it became interesting for me because I never really looked people straight in the eyes when I was talking to them. I would always look at their mouth. But here's what I really started discovering. When I started looking at those eyebrows, that's when it really started clicking for me. And I was like, wow, those eyebrows are reacting before anything else does.
That's so interesting. And it's so funny because I was just talking to my daughter about that, you know, right, with the masks, you can't really see the smile, right?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Thank you for that. That's the little gold nugget I'm taking away from today is paying attention to your eyebrows. That's great.
It was something I never paid attention to before. And ever since I started, believe me, when you ask somebody a question, whether that question is, you know, good, bad, indifferent, whatever the case may be, those eyebrows are going to react. And I was like, I was like, you have a difference of opinion because you can't hide that.
Yeah. So I'm putting my mask on now, Terry. I'm going to do the rest of the interview.
People cannot hide those eyebrows. Now me, I've got big glasses, so I can kind of hide my eyebrows a little bit, but it's kind of one of those things. Anyway, I thought that would be kind of a fun question to ask right there.
From now on, I'm going to go around with one of those Groucho Marx things with the fake fake eyebrows. So when I play poker, there you go. That's a tell, right? When I play poker once a month with a bunch of real estate guys, I'm going to start wearing, I'm going to do that next time. They're going to ask me, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. So once again, I thought that was kind of fun. So I kind of want to dive back into chapter 2, which is auto suggestions. So we was talking about those little voices within your head, positive, negative choices. How does auto suggestion really play into that? Because regardless of whether things, you know, happen to you, for you, whatever, people really kind of do have these preconceived notion or ideas that are really auto suggestions based on, and this is where I believe, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, I just mentioned this before, knowledge, skills, and experience. So how do you overcome auto suggestion and prevent it from really holding you back?
Well, that's interesting. It's one of the natural laws of the universe, right? So the law of autosuggestion, just like the law of gravity, it works. I mean, it is what it is, right? So the law of autosuggestion, it's basically in layman terms, it's self-talk. It's what's your self-talk, right? And so Napoleon Hill, by the way, the two shortest chapters in the book are autosuggestion and the subconscious mind. I always teach those together because they go together, right? So we combine those two chapters. I think one's 8 pages, the other one's like 9 pages. They're pretty short. Autosuggestion is the medium by which to influence the subconscious mind, right? Auto suggestion is the medium by which to influence the subconscious mind. So if you want to change your results, Terry, if you want to change your results, don't focus on your results. Back to what you talked about before, right? Go back to the beginning. So think of it like this. Our thinking leads to our feelings. Our feelings cause our actions. Our actions produce our results. And our results become a reality. So if you want to get out of debt, stop focusing on debt. Go back to the source. Go back to your thinking. Think about creative ways to earn more money. And you notice I didn't say make money. If you want to make money, go work at the mint. You earn money. You'll never hear me say make money. If you do, correct me. You don't make money, you earn money. You earn money by providing good services and products for people, right? So you go back, and if you want to get out of debt, forget about debt. Think about creative ways to earn more money. That will change your feelings around money. It will change your actions around debt. And before you know it, you'll be out of debt, right? So that auto suggestion is how you influence your thinking because our thinking is rooted in our subconscious mind. So positive affirmations, right? That's your self-talk. As soon as you hear a negative thought about yourself, switch it immediately. Don't let it exist. Let me give you another real quick little example, right? The other day I got into a rental car. Whoever was in the rental car before turned on the radio and it was to really loud, obnoxious music. What did I automatically immediately do? I reached for the radio, right? Right. I changed the channel because it was offensive and it was loud. I did it almost automatically. Why don't we do that as human beings when negative thoughts come in? That's the noisy, loud music that's offensive to your success. you have the ability to turn the channel. So when you have a negative thought, which is auto-suggestion, if you don't do something with it, it's going to sink into your subconscious mind. Change the channel. And you do that through positive affirmations, because that self-talk, Terry, is what will influence your subconscious mind, which influences your thinking, your feeling, your actions, and your results. So being aware of that negativity is something you can change immediately.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I find interesting is that, you know, you and I are high level achievers. We both think, you know, differently, and we take different action. The average person that's out there really has these limiting beliefs to where they don't believe that they can take action. They don't believe that they can change their outcome or change their situation. And, you know, and a lot of that is auto-suggestion. It's like, well, I can't do this because, you know, insert negative excuse here. And, you know, what really takes that person, what would it take to shift the mindset of a person who really just has zero confidence, zero belief, taking no action and just falling into the norm, so to speak? I don't like using that word, but falling into the category of just everybody else.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have members of my family that are like that. I'm sure you have, you know, people that you
I do.
Know. And yeah. And, you know, Bob Proctor always just say you have to, you know, when you start to elevate your level of thinking and your level of awareness, and you want to move in the direction of your desire, right? Because it all boils down to desire, everything, desire-based focus, desire-based decisions, desire-based masterminds, right? It's all based on desire. He said, you're going to have to trade up. You're going to have to trade out some of your friends and trade up, right? And we all have heard this, the five people that you hang around with, right? Mm-hmm. I honestly believe it all begins with awareness, Terry. You know, when you're aware that you can have a different life, right? I didn't use better life. I said a different life, right? So you have, it might be better, right? When you're aware of that, and you're aware that you have control of your thoughts, and you're aware that you're control over your feelings and your actions, right? I think that's where it starts, because most people are just unaware. You know, they go through life and they're just a victim of their circumstance, or they're a victim of their environment, right? Great, great sign. I don't want to be a victim of my environment. I want my environment. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you do that? Well, you change where you're hanging out. You change, instead of watching football, and I have nothing against football, you know, go to a clubhouse and listen to get into a room and listen, you know, play that in the background or participate, right? So, you know, alter, if you want to shift something, you've got to shift something, right? So start hanging around with positive people. Start, you know, when you have negative thoughts, replace those negative thoughts. Stop listening to the negative news. Stop reading books that aren't moving you in the direction you desire. And it all begins with awareness. We all have the ability, Terry. You know, I look at the bookshelf behind you, right? I know some of those are all those your books, or are they just some of your books?
So I do have a couple of my books there. And once again, it's like what you and I talk about, what you put within your mind, what you feed yourself, that is exactly how you grow. That's how you learn. That's how you build that knowledge and skills. So I've always grabbed books or gravitated towards books where I'm trying to learn something, whether it's a knowledge, whether it's a skill, whether it's a mindset, whether it's, you know, something that's going to help me shift or grow or think differently. So every single one of those books, there's an intention behind why I got those books.
Yeah. And I just looked a little closer. I see Russell Brunson's, I've read all those as well, because, you know, I had a desire to learn about marketing and learn about funnels. Well, Russell Brunson knows a lot more about that than I do. So
exactly.
You know, and my point is, you seek knowledge, right? I mean, what did Matthew say? You know, seek and you shall find, right? Knock and it shall be open to you. Ask and you shall receive. No, a lot of people never seek. That's an action. Mm-hmm. A lot of people never knock on that door, right? The door's not going to open if you don't knock. If you don't ask, you'll never receive, right? A lot of people, you know, they don't look at who they're hanging around with, right? And that's the key. Open your eyes, right? Mm-hmm. Be aware of what, use your mental muscle of perception, perceive what's going on around you, because you have more control over that than you think. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. And I'm the same way. You know, in 2017, I read 188 books. I was on a quest for knowledge. I read every type of book you can imagine. Some of them are on the back down. Now that I look, I read all of Russell's books. I read, you know, my point is, you seek out knowledge, therefore you find knowledge, right? And you take that knowledge and which one you got there?
So this is where it all started for me. My awesome quest for knowledge and understanding started right there with Zig Ziglar. Top Performance was the very first book that I ever read. This is an old book. I mean, the pages are, you know, they're orange, and I've read this book a few times, and
that's a great book.
That's where it started for me.
A lot of people don't know who Zig Ziglar is. His son Tom is out there now, but Zig passed away. Mm-hmm. Bob Proctor, in my mind, is up there with Zig Ziglar. I mean, he and Zig Ziglar were top dogs. And, you know, Zig, one of his great quotes, which I love, he's had a ton of them, was if you help enough, and I'm probably butchering it, but he said to the fact, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's all about service, you know, providing that service, providing that valuable product or service, and you will be rewarded, right? The law of reciprocity. And the law of compensation. Zig is awesome. I mean, if for any of you out there that haven't read that book, absolutely read it. It's a great book.
Yeah, it is a very dry read. I'm going to be brutally honest. It's a very dry read, but it took me a couple of times to read it to really kind of get to that level of thinking. You know, it's like one of my mentors, John Maxwell, talks about, if you want to change your way of life, then you change your way of thinking, because by changing your way of thinking, you can and will change your way of life. And that's in his book, Thinking for a Change. You know, John Maxwell has written several books. I think I've read probably about 30 to 35 of his books. Absolutely amazing author. And it kind of leads me to this next question, which is really all about chapter 5 within the book, which is imagination. Do you really believe that it's lack of imagination that people just don't take that action? You know, because I always really tie it back to knowledge, skills, and experience, but maybe it's just imagination. I'm not sure.
Well, what I have to say about that is it's not lack of imagination, because we all have an infinite imagination. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of your use of your imagination. Mm. That's the key, right? So do you remember your little kid? Now, I have children. I don't know if you have kids or not. I have kids. Two. I remember my daughter. Yeah, my daughters, we used to give them, they played with Barbies, right? And they played, and I would walk into their room when they were like 4 or 5 years old, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old. They would play for hours. They had their little apartment. They had their little this. I mean, literally, they had no concept of time because they were activating their imagination, right? They were just living in their own little universe, right? And my son used to do it. He had army men. He used to sub wars, and he'd have battles, and he had the tanks, and right? And he'd be in there for hours, right? Because they had no concept of this man-made thing called time. They were literally exercising their imagination. Here's the kicker. That's one of the mental muscles. It's also one of the chapters in the book, because Napoleon Hill found out to succeed, you want to engage your imagination, right? And he said there's two different kinds, by the way, creative imagination and synthetic imagination. Mm. Synthetic imagination is just rearranging old ideas into a new application. Creative imagination is actually tapping into the infinite source. As far as imagination, I could talk about this for hours. I know I don't want to do that. It's about the use of your imagination. So understanding that you have that childlike imagination. And what happens to us, Terry, right? In school, our teachers tell us, hey, quit daydreaming, right? Like get your head out of the clouds. Like, you know, pay attention, right? What is that doing? It's putting a lid on our imagination, right? And I tell my people, take the lid off your imagination. Mm-hmm. Exercise that mental muscle. Imagine yourself. Close your eyes. Imagine yourself on that beach, or like I fly planes. Like, I can literally close my eyes and imagine being at 5,000 feet in my little plane, right? We have the power of imagination. And I want to just share one more thing with that. Proctor told me this. He gave me this. He said, listen, is your imagination real, Carl? I said, yes, it's real. It's real for me. He said, can you point to it? I said, no. He said, it exists on a different level of thinking. It's in another dimension, right? But it's real. I said, absolutely. He says, is it part of you? I said, yes. He said, are you part of the universe? I said, yeah. He said, then there's nothing you can imagine that's not part of you and therefore part of the imagination or part of the universe. And he said, there's nothing in the universe you can't imagine. He says, you can imagine things that we may not have the technology right now to come into fruition, but that doesn't mean you can't imagine in your head, right? And so that's what people don't understand. You have an infinite imagination. You can imagine anything, right? Past, present, or future. So people don't think about, they don't imagine what it will be like. When they say, I want $1 million for financial security, but they never go to the place where they close their eyes and actually get into that feeling. Like, what's it going to feel like, right? What's it going to feel like when you have that boat, or what's it going to feel like when you've helped 1 million people, or whatever it is you're up to? And that's what people. It's the lack of the use of imagination, Terry. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to say about that.
You know, I love what you said there about that lid, because it reminds me of John Maxwell's Law of the Lid. And I really believe that a lot of people do. They put that lid on there based off of a lot of different things, you know, on why they really control themselves or limit themselves. And, you know, when I think of imagination, here's the thing. The imagination is the playground of the mind. It truly is. And if you're willing to play and try out different things, you know, you got your swing, your slide, all these different things that are on the playground, you're really able to take yourself creatively places that you really could never go before, but you have to have that imagination, that creativity, and more importantly, that forgiveness to really forgive yourself, or that permission, so to speak, to really go places that you never could. Here's the thing that I've discovered. I've discovered that people will always judge you from a place of weakness when they do not understand your strength. And I think that your mind is a very powerful, very strong thing if you're willing to take it places that you've never taken it before.
And how do you do that? You engage your imagination. It's something that you can literally do right now. Like the listeners in this, after you get done with the show, I challenge you to go to a quiet place, to close your eyes, to calm your mind, to turn your cell phone off and spend 5 minutes in your imagination. Just let it run wild. Whatever. Don't think of any limitations, no limitations on time, no limitations on money, no limitations on physical, where you are physically, what you can or cannot do physically. Just let your mind run wild. And if you do that every day for a week, you will be amazed at how your life will shift. Your whole universe will shift because you will be engaging that mental muscle that God gave us. As men, we all have that mental muscle. And go back to when you were a child. Go back to how you were when you're a child. You can imagine, you know, that's what used to get you out of bed in the morning, right? Or kept up at night. Your imagination, right? And so engage that and see what happens. I challenge your listeners to do that.
I love that. I have a room for that too. So I have a room. It's like a sensory deprivation room. So it's dark. So when I go in there, I have a bean bag. That's it. I go in and I sit down in my bean bag. It's dark. And I just sit down, close my eyes, and I just go into my thoughts. Go into my imagination, wherever that it takes me, that's where it takes me. But it's an intentional thing. And I truly believe that when you're able to really just kind of slow yourself down, go deep within your thoughts, don't think about anything else, you will go places. You will go places, but you have to make an intentional effort. So I actually have a room for that. And I know a lot of people really don't have those types of things, but I want to ask you, do you have a special place that you go to where it's like, here's my place, this is where I'm thinking, this is where I'm diving deep? Where's your special place?
You know, it's a little embarrassing, and people have asked me this before. I do it in the shower. You know, my kids, I probably take, you know, because I work out and I do stuff, I take a minimum of one shower, sometimes three showers a day, just because, for one reason, because, you know, I work out or whatever. The other thing, it's my space. You know, and, you know, I do it every day. The water runs down me. You know, sometimes I have really cold water, hot water, depending on how I feel, right? Sometimes I alternate, but it's literally the sound of the water. I close my eyes, the feeling, it's like a washing of me. That's where I do my thinking and my meditation, you know, and sometimes it's a real quick shower. Sometimes it may be a 10-minute shower, but that for me is a place where I can just call everything else. I just shut everything else out. You know what I mean? And for me, that's my place. And, you know, I just want to bring up one other thing. You know, you've written several books. You do this show. You do so many amazing things, right? You didn't always do those, did you, Terry?
No, not always. I had to build up that knowledge, skills, and the muscle to take those actions every day.
But here's what I want to say. It started in your imagination, right? It started with your desire to do that, to help people. It started in your imagination. You imagined yourself doing these things before you did them. And that's the power that we all have, right? Imagine what you want, you know, based on your desire, imagine where you want to go, what you want to do, who you want to do it with. And you'll see that the universe will start to line up. And fast forward, here you are. What number of episodes is this? You've probably done hundreds of these, right? Or whatever. You know what I mean?
So I lose track of, I've recorded a lot of videos. I definitely lose track.
But you understand what I mean? You started with one, right? You started one. And that before you started with that one, you imagined what it was going to be like, right? You got over your fear of criticism and your fear of judgment. You know, you told yourself with your with your auto suggestion, I can do this. You know, if Joe Rogan can do it, I can do it. I believe that. And so here we are. You know, this what your listeners are listening to is a function of your imagination.
I believe that 100%. So I have a fun question. I we're winding down here. And I have a couple of fun questions here. And this is one that I always ask everybody, and I give people the opportunity to imagine themselves in a stadium. You're up on stage. You've got thousands of people out there within the audience, and you are in flow. So when I say flow, I mean a focused level of work, otherwise commonly known as flow. You're in flow. You're pacing back and forth. You're giving that knowledge, those skills, that experience to thousands of people in a stadium. How do you reach that one person that's all the way back in the back in the nosebleed section who otherwise might seem disconnected because they're not right there on stage with you? How do you reach that person to have influence and impact on that person?
That is a great question. That's a great question. And, you know, I want to answer it by just giving you something I believe in, right? We exist on three separate levels or three levels simultaneously, right? Of energy. The physical level, which is this. Right. That's our physical level. Right. The intellectual level, which is our thoughts, and then the spiritual level. Right. So the three planes of existence, and we do it simultaneously. You can't switch from one to the other. Right. So physical, intellectual, spiritual. Right. So how do you reach that person? If the person isn't in your physical space, it's going to be harder to reach out and touch them physically. Right. So you have to go to the intellectual and the spiritual. How do you connect with somebody spiritually? You do it on the emotional level. How do they connect with me? I get vulnerable. I share something with them that's vulnerable to me that may tug on their vulnerability, right? Mm. It may be something that happened. It may be something that I experienced, right? So you get connected with them on that above the physical and intellectual, but on the spiritual. And it happens on the emotional level, right? When you say something that's vulnerable to you and it connects with somebody 1,000 miles away, they get an impulse of emotion. It triggers something emotionally in them, and then they connect with you immediately, energetically, right? Like at the speed of light. And that's how you do it. And it doesn't matter if you're in a stadium. It doesn't matter if you're halfway around the world, right? It's that intellect. It's that spiritual connection that we're all connected to. And the way that you do it, you know, as someone like you or something, you get vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You expose some of your vulnerability and your humanity, and then people can recognize that in themselves. That is the way I would answer that question.
I love that. And it makes that person kind of stand up or sit up in their chair a little bit. It's like, hey, I want to listen to that. I want more. And you're absolutely correct. When you're able to connect with someone on an emotional level, on a deeper level, that really makes somebody stand up, get interested to where they want to hear more. Instead of having, because I strongly believe that there's a huge difference between want and have. And I notice that a lot of people are out there, you know, it's like, well, I have to go to work. I have to do this. I have to do that versus wanting to do something. So expound a little bit about having and wanting.
I love it. I just had this conversation with my daughter, right? And I said, you know, and I'm going to go right back to some of my training. You know, I spent a lot of time with Bob Proctor, about 3 years working with him. And he used to say, you have to do something until you want to, and then you never have to ever again, right? So I'll repeat that. You have to do something until you want to, and then you never have to do it ever again, right? So the difference is when you say, oh, I have to do this, that brings up a negative, derogatory, kind of like shut down, like, oh, I have to do this, right? As opposed to, I want to do this. Like, I want to do this, right? That goes back to what I talked about before. Having and needs are kind of in that negative side of the equation. Wants and desires are the positive side. I want to get my homework done as opposed to I have to get my homework done. I want to go to work today as opposed to I have to go to work today, right? I want to have that difficult conversation with my significant other, right? To clear the air as opposed to avoiding it and saying, well, I have to talk to my wife today, or I have to talk to my boyfriend today or whatever. You know what I mean? So the difference is really the way you think about it. And that goes back to that negative and positive, right? Haves and needs are on the darker side, right? Wants and desires are you want to do it. It's based on your desire. You take action. You're looking forward to it, even though it might not be pleasant. And I want to just share one other thing that was it Earl Nightingale that said this, or I forget who said it, but he said, successful people are successful people want to do what less successful people do, right? He said, successful people are willing to do what less successful people aren't willing to do. And he said, it doesn't mean they enjoy it, right? He said, but they're willing to do it and they want to do it, right? Even though it might not be enjoyable. There's some things in life that are required for you to succeed. And you, the only way you're going to do it is if you want to do it. And it's not that you want to do that action, Terry, it's you want to succeed. You understand that's just a stepping stone, right? But when you say, oh, I have to take this next step, or I have to study this, or I have to listen to Terry on Clubhouse, that's not powerful, right? It's when I want to, right? I want to listen to Terry. I want to take that step. I want to get educated. I want to invest in my, and hire a coach or a mentor or a trainer. That takes on a totally different dynamic, totally different. And it's all about your desire. It's what you want.
So be willing to do today what others will not do so that you can have tomorrow what others will not have.
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. 100%.
I love that. So here's the deal. As entrepreneurs, as authors, as leaders, whatever label that we want to put on that, you know, we oftentimes get focused on things that we're doing every single day. We're taking action. We're doing all these things to where we make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day, and I love it. I absolutely love it because it's through those mistakes that I'm able to learn. I'm able to grow. I'm able to modify, tweak, change, and take different action and get different results. I have to know, what's the most embarrassing thing that you've ever done to where it's like, oh my goodness, this is a lesson right here. What was that?
Most embarrassing? Oh gosh. I mean, that's a tough one. I'll tell you one that happened recently. Mm-hmm. I'm right in the middle of we're just starting actually one of my 13-week courses, right? Where each week we put people on a Zoom from all over the world. And each week we go through one of the chapters of the book. And there's actually, it ends up being about 16 weeks with the introduction and the epilogue and everything else. And I do the work with them. You know, I'm trained with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. I'm certified as a trainer. And I do the work with them. And that's one of the beautiful things about it, Terry, because you can't be talking about desire or faith or imagination that week and not actually do the work. So last week I got ahead of the curve, right? We were supposed to be on desire. And when we got on the phone call, because we're on a call for an hour, I was on faith. Right. So I'm talking about the chapter on faith. And I'm looking at everybody and they're looking at me. And you can see, you know, they're on Zoom and exactly right. That's exactly right. And they're like, you know, finally, and by the way, my 16-year-old daughter is doing the course. It's the first time anyone in my family's done it. And she said, Dad, I want to do the course. And she looked at me because everybody else was like, they didn't know what to do. But my daughter, you know, she said, Dad, she said, we're on the chapter on desire this week, not the chapter on faith.
That's awesome.
So I had my 16-year-old daughter correct me in front of everybody else. So that was a little embarrassing. But, you know, we've all had our moments. You know, I slipped on stage one time. The mic wasn't working. I mean, we've all had those things, right?
Those are good lessons in humility, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I've definitely had my fair share of mistakes, you know, talking on stage, talking in chat rooms and this, that, and the other. So one of my embarrassing moments was, I'm given a presentation and, you know, cause years ago I used to hang out in chat rooms and as an entrepreneur, that's kind of how I got leads. I would go into chat rooms and I would talk, I would try to motivate and inspire, encourage. And a lot of times in chat rooms, that's really kind of a bad place sometimes because people just want to do what they do in there. And I was always that guy coming in. Well, I come in one time and I just, without even missing a beat, I just go in, get on camera and I start talking, give my presentation. And, you know, because I had the microphone, little did I know I was in a chat room that was filled with deaf people and they were all sign languaging each other. Nobody heard a word that I was saying. So I'm over here just talking to myself. And it was embarrassing because I had, you know, I had a couple of friends with me. And I was like, hey, let's go into this chat room. Let's go talk to these people. Let's try to get leads and this, that, and the other. And we're over here talking. And I was just rocking and rolling until my partner chatted me the message, said, hey, open up some cameras. Like, I don't think we're talking to anybody. So I started opening up cameras and they're doing all this and that and the other. And I'm like, man, we're in a deaf room, aren't we? So we immediately exited said room and just got out of there. And I got a hold of my buddy and I'm like, man, that was kind of embarrassing, but it was funny at the same time.
You were in the flow, Terry. You were in the flow. I love it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was definitely an interesting moment. So here's my last question here. And this is, I always give everybody an opportunity to share that one golden nugget. But before we do, I just want to say thank you very much. Thank you for sharing all of your valuable knowledge, your experience, your wisdom. And I've truly learned a lot. And I always love having great conversations like this right here, because I'm always able to take something away. So if you did, if you had that one golden nugget, that one thing that could motivate, encourage, inspire, or empower somebody to take action today, what would that golden nugget be?
You know, that's a really good one. I would say, believe that you have the ability to achieve, right? Believe that you have the ability to achieve. If somebody has done something that you want to do and you can point to them, you have the ability to do it as well, if you're willing to do it. So I would say, you know, believe that you have the ability to achieve whatever it is that you want in your life and that you really want, and that you're willing to do the work and you're willing to make the investment and you're willing to connect with the people and you're willing to take, to set aside the time. You're able to do it, because it never comes down to ability. It always comes down to willingness. If somebody is able to do what you want to do, you're able to do it as well. So that's what I would say, is really believe in your ability. You know, we're all divine creatures. We're all put here for a purpose. You know, figure out what that is. You've been given the ability. So now believe that you have it and go out and achieve. That's what I would say.
I love that. And it's like Tony Robbins said, success leaves clues. And when you're able to find great leaders, great mentors, people that have been there before you, and you watch, you observe, you step outside of that box and imagine what the possibilities are, because a lot of great things within this life has already been done. It's a matter of how we look at that, modify, tweak, or change, call it our own, take action, get our own results, and repeat that process and that journey, because it is a journey. You have to take action. You have to be able to believe within yourself and understand that if it's possible for somebody else, it is also possible for you. And that's something that we always talk about within Unbreakable Stories. We always tell everybody, look, things happen, adversity happens, struggles happen, roadblocks happen, all these things within life happen. But if you focus on that negativity and all the things that tend to happen, then you will stay right there within that rut that you're in, and you will never move beyond that. So you have to believe in yourself. You have to understand that, you know what, if it's possible for somebody else, it's possible for you, but you must believe, you must take action, you must take an intentional effort every single day to focus on what the most important thing that you must do every single day, otherwise commonly known as the bottom line up front. So, Carl, thank you very much for joining me here today. How can people get more connected with you? What are some current projects that you're working on? Do you have any upcoming events? And how can people get connected more with you?
Sure. The best place is really just to shoot me an email or go on Instagram, where I'm on, you know, I'm under Your Focus Guy on Instagram and Twitter and all that. I'm not real active, but really the best way is just send me an email. You could send me an email to info@yourfocusguy.com. Again, info@yourfocusguy.com. And if you mention Terry's show, I'm going to do a couple things. One, I've got a course coming up in January to begin the year, 13-week course. I'll be more than happy to extend the 20% discount to any on the tuition for any of your folks. Also, anything that we talked about, the 5 areas of your life, the mental muscles, fears, auto suggestions. I have so much content, Terry, on this book. If you put any subject, you know, any of those subjects in the subject line, I'll send you the information I have on that. Other than that, I will be more than happy to send an e-copy of my new book, Unstoppable You, to anybody that reaches out to me. And it's, you know, it's all about giving, right? That's what it's about. The law of reciprocity. The more you give, the more you're going to get. So the best way to get in touch with me is really my email, info@yourfocusguy.com. I'd be more happy to share any of the stuff that we talked about.
Awesome, Carl. Thank you very much for sharing. Once again, that's info@yourfocusguy.com. Make sure you send Carl a message. Get connected with everything. Best way is to email him, info@yourfocusguy.com. Carl, thank you very much for joining. Is there any last words or anything else that you want to share before we go here?
Yeah, I just want to thank you and acknowledge you for what you're doing, Terry. You know, we just got to know each other in the last year, and I think what you're doing is amazing. You put an effort out every day, and you make a difference in people's lives. So I really appreciate the opportunity to add value to your show and to deepen our relationship. And anything I can ever do for you, I just want to reciprocate and just say thank you very much and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Awesome, Carl. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you in the next episode.